This post-game edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast is brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. Mariska's in Crest Hill, family-owned and operated since 1933. And Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe, with locations in Burbank and Darien. Visit chuckscafe.com. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome into our first ever post-game edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. My name is James Naveau from NBC5 Chicago, and with me, as always, is the one, the only, the awesome, the legendary Jay Zawoski. Jay, we are talking after yet another Blackhawks defeat. They are fourth in a row, only scored one goal again tonight, almost got shut out, but did not thanks to Jonathan Toews, and really, they've just got to be really happy that this week is over.
Yeah, and, you know, it's hard to look back and say they've played really poorly, but they haven't played overly well either. And I think coming off the slow start and then the hot streak, you know, in the middle of November, we're starting to see what this team really is. And I think you and I called it maybe earlier than most. They're just not very good. They're going to be a team that's going to be really having to grind out to win a playoff spot here, and if they get one, they're not going to do much with it. It's a transition year. They're playing the kids. I'm happy that Joel Quenneville, when they need a goal late, has Alex DeBrincat, Gustav Forsling, young players on the ice in those situations. That's what we wanted. That's what we hoped for in this situation, and we're getting it. So I can't be too overly mad. We thought that if things broke right, they'd be a playoff team this year. It looks like they could be. I think they're probably better than they played the last four games a little bit. But, I mean, this might just have to be the reality of what it is. And it's pretty mediocre. And there's going to be stretches like this where they're losing one-goal games game after game after game. Sorry, I'm rambling on here. But tonight, at no point did I really feel the Hawks were going to score. It just never really had that feel, did it?
Well, it didn't really feel like the Kings were really doing much of anything either, if we're being completely honest. It was kind of a sloppily played game. It kind of was just plodding along. It wasn't real great. And then kind of in the third period, the teams kind of got like a little bit of a sense of urgency. It almost reminded me of like an NBA All-Star game where they don't really start playing defense until the fourth quarter of the game. And that, to me, was kind of the story of tonight. The Kings didn't really look like they had any interest in this game until the third period. The Blackhawks were able to punch back a little bit. Steve Conroy kept bringing up on the broadcast that he thought the Blackhawks, you know, looked pretty fresh, all things considered. And I have to be honest, I don't know what game he was watching. This team was clearly worn down from playing five games in 7 days. And I know a lot of people are going to go, oh, well, you know, they have all these private planes and all their meals are catered. And that doesn't matter. You play five hockey games in 7 days. I'm telling you right now, as a fan and as an observer and a blogger about this team, I'm tired after five games in 7 days. So I'd imagine that the guys who are actually out there skating and grinding and playing are going to be a heck of a lot more tired than I am, regardless of the palatial estates and the, you know, cushy travel and blah, blah, blah. This team looked dog tired tonight, and they looked that way the entire first 40 minutes of this game. They bounced back a little bit in the third period, but it was just a little bit of too little too late. And honestly, they went up against one of the best defenses in the NHL tonight, if not the best. The Los Angeles Kings this season, I believe, are first in the NHL in penalty killing and in overall defense in terms of goals allowed. They are no slouch when it comes to preventing offense, and they gave the Blackhawks some real fits tonight. And you just have to give them a lot of credit and kind of move on and enjoy these next 2 days and rest. And there's really not a lot you can take from this game other than you went up against a really good defense and you didn't score until there was about 2 minutes left in the game.
You know, I felt for a long time, speaking of that, that Joel Quenneville is a little trigger happy on pulling the goalie. I think he does it pretty early too often. You'll see the goalie pull with about 2.5 minutes left or so. And while I'm saying that, I am acknowledging that it doesn't feel like he's gotten burned a lot by doing it, but I'm always hesitant with 2.5 minutes left or 2:15 left or whatever it was tonight to pull the goalie, especially mid-shift. If there's an icing and you've got the puck down there, fine. But Forsberg left the ice in the middle of a shift. Dustin Brown got the puck and just scored. It was a matter of seconds from when, you know, Forsberg left the ice to when the puck was in the back of the net. Yes, the Hawks went on to score and cut the game to 2-1 at that point. But still, I think he's too quick to do it. I know it's a small thing. It's not a hugely important thing, I guess, in the long scheme of things. And again, looking back at the numbers, it probably would prove that he's not doing anything terribly wrong. I just, my gut and kind of like my hockey instinct tells me, man, he pulls a goalie early quick. Or often, I mean. He does it early often.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. I feel like he maybe pulls the goalie a little bit too early. He's got a little bit of Patrick Waugh in him, where Patrick Waugh used to pull the goalie with, like, 6 minutes left in, like, the second period. Like, he just was itching to get the goalie off the ice and see if they could score with the extra attacker. There might be a little bit of over-aggression on the part of Joel Quenneville, but I think most stats guys will tell you that pulling the goalie ends up being a worse idea than just trying to play it 5-on-5. And I'm not sure if that's just because there are more bodies on the ice or whatever it is. You know, guys taking liberties, shooting the puck down to try to score easy goals. I'm not sure what it is, but I kind of agree with you that there is a little bit of an over-aggressiveness there, but I also would prefer an over-aggressive approach to an approach that is too cautious. I wouldn't want Joel pulling the goaltender with like a minute left in the game. I don't feel like that's enough time. I feel like if you do it this way, you probably get 2-3 shifts maybe with those top guys that you're putting out there in these situations, instead of only getting like a little like 30-second burst out of them and then that's it. I feel like Joel pulling the goaltender a little bit early might be just an excuse to kind of dictate that matchup a little bit and get the players out there that he wants to get out there.
I only pull the goalie when I'm home alone. That's my policy.
Nice.
All right, before we wrap up our post-game thing here, one thing we have to acknowledge, we are two games into the Corey Crawford-less formation, and I think so far so good with Anton Forsberg. I think he was good the last two games he played against Dallas, tonight against the Kings. So I'm encouraged by what I've seen from him. I think he was really strong tonight. Again, there weren't a million terrific scoring chances, but he did the job when he had to. So far, so good with Forsberg. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he was named second star last night against the Stars, and I definitely agree with that. I thought he did really well, especially at even strength last night for the Blackhawks. I thought he looked very comfortable in net, and he's not Scott Darling. I think that the thing that we're going to have to keep in mind here is we kind of move forward, you know, the next maybe game or two, depending on what the result is of Corey Crawford coming out and skating next week. The thing we're going to have to keep in mind is that the Blackhawks have had a preposterously good run of fortune when it comes to developing and getting backup goaltenders that can potentially start in other places. And then I think that you've seen, obviously, in some cases where guys like Antti Niemi have regressed a little bit, but by and large, they've had guys like Antti Raanta and Scott Darling that have come in here, played as backups, and been extremely good for those inevitable times when Corey Crawford ends up being injured. And I brought this up before the season even started, that we knew there was going to be a stretch of time this season when Corey Crawford was injured, and the big question was going to be whether or not Anton Forsberg was going to be good enough to kind of carry the load in those times, and we're obviously seeing that right now. And the offense hasn't been there the last two games, but Anton Forsberg definitely has been. And I have been pretty impressed with his effort.
Well, he has played well, but the bottom line is that he's 0-1-1. So, you know, not good enough, I mean, for the team.
Gave up one goal tonight, gave up two goals last night. Yep, total bust, terrible.
No, it's not his fault. It's not his fault, but I think I said, I don't know if you listened to it, you should have because you love me, but when I did the special Corey Crawford report on Friday, I said the hope is that the Hawks can go .500 throughout this stretch without Crawford. So far, not so good. But again, not Anton Forsberg's fault, so that's encouraging, the fact that he's played well. Were you a little bit surprised he didn't go with Berube one of these two games?
No, I wasn't. I mean, Forsberg hasn't gotten a lot of run yet, and I think that during the preseason we weren't exactly blown away by what we saw with Berube, so I'm not surprised at all that Forsberg has gotten the look both nights, especially the way he looked against Dallas on Saturday. I think that Joel is going to ride that as much as he can, and Berube is kind of relegated to that Jeff Glass territory where he's only here to basically, you know, wear a baseball cap and look cute on the bench. That's about it.
How's he doing in that department? Have you noticed?
I have not noticed him yet. I tried to kind of sneak a peek at him tonight when Ulf Samuelsson was doing his third period bit, but unfortunately I didn't get a chance to see that. Speaking of things, I just want to bring this up. I know that we're trying to keep this short, but we have to bring up Artem Anisimov's mustache, or lack thereof.
I know. What are you doing, man?
He shaved it off, dude. What is wrong with him?
What? I mean, come on. Hockey players of all are the most superstitious, too. He should know better. That throws off the entire mojo of the entire city, not just the hockey team. The Bulls are going to suffer. The Bears lost today because of it. It's just been an outright disaster since he shaved.
Completely agree. I think that he literally has thrown off the entire Chicago sports landscape with his selfish attitude of getting rid of his mustache. I feel like we need a full-fledged investigation into why he did that and whether or not he was attempting to sabotage this entire city. And we will have the results of that investigation tomorrow when we do a full-on podcast. It'll be great. Tune in. It'll be fun.
Hey, can I do a quick non-Hawks sports complaint, by the way?
You know what? We've already had listeners who are listening to this, so absolutely, the pulpit is yours.
So, Robbie Gould pretty much single-handedly beat the Bears today, air quotes, single-handedly. Five field goals, 15
points. More
like
single-footedly.
I want to remind everybody, and this has been on my mind all year, as Connor Barth and the other crappy Bears kickers have come and gone, when Robbie Gould was let go from the Bears, he sucked. He was missing kicks like crazy. He was not performing it the way he used to. Don't forget that. And you were probably one of those people that was really mad at Robbie Gould for missing chip shots that he had made before. Just because the Bears' current kicking situation sucks doesn't make Robbie Gould, when he was let go, better than he was. He was not good when the Bears got rid of him. Has he been better since? Absolutely. Of course, he's been much better. But when the Bears got rid of him, he was missing kicks routinely. Don't forget that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I can't really add a whole lot to that. I don't have Robbie Gould's numbers in front of me. But, no, he was not the end-all, be-all of kickers anymore. And, I mean, I know we got very spoiled when it came to the successes of Robbie Gould. He was one of the most accurate kickers in the history of the NFL. And he never was at Connor Barth levels of suck, though. I think that we can't kid ourselves and try to say that. That's a level of suck that few have ever accomplished. I'm talking about your Al Del Grecos and people like that. So I think that you're right, that it was probably time to move on from Robbie Gould. It does not take away from the fact that that dude torched the Bears today, and they, as a team, continue to be freaking awful, and the only thing we have left to look forward to this season is them losing to the Cleveland Browns and the inevitable day when they fire John Fox, and we'll see if they dump more people than just him.
Okay, here, 2015 Robbie Gould. He was 8 for 8 from 20 to 29 yards, 10 of 12 from 30 to 39, 9 of 7 from 40 to 49. I'm sorry, 7 of 9.
That'd have been a record. 40 to 49,
and 7 of 9 from 50+, good for 84.6%.
You're so acting like that's bad. That's not awful.
It's not awful, but it wasn't like he was, you know, ruling the world back then either. Bears fans were plenty annoyed with him at that point.
Bears fans are stupid, and I include myself in that group. We are not the brightest bulbs in the box. We just aren't.
All right. That's all. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
anything else you want to comment on the Avengers trailer, or can we save that for tomorrow?
Yeah. I have not seen Age of Ultron.
What? Why?
I started watching it like 3 times, and then I just always kind of lost interest. I didn't see it in the theater, and that hurts. You got to see him in the theater.
Yeah. It was pretty cool in theaters. And I make that argument a lot about Doctor Strange, because that was a movie that if you saw it in a theater, you were blown away. But if you watch it on Blu-ray, it just doesn't have the same punch.
All right, I'll take your word for it. All right, well, that's going to wrap up this post-game edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Look for these after every game. It'll be James or me, or James and me. Somehow we'll get you a brief post-game report after every game. So stick with us, the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Hey, and don't forget, January 20th, our outing with the Chicago Wolves. Discounted tickets, meet and greet, Wolves and Madhouse Podcast swag. So It'll be a lot of fun. Saturday, January 20th, 7 p.m. I will link the ticket link and the event link in the description of this podcast. It's also on both of our Twitter accounts and the Madhouse Pod account, so it's very easy to find that link. If you still can't find it, email us, madhousepod@gmail.com, and we'll make sure we send you the link ASAP. 50 tickets are available. Many have been sold already, so if you want to go to this and you've been thinking about it, jump in now. Don't wait, because it's going to sell out, and the first 15 people to sign up get that special pregame Chalk Talk experience with the Wolves senior advisor and director of hockey operations. He'll give you a scouting report and a Q&A before the game, so the first 15 to buy tickets get into that. So make sure you hustle, make sure you get in. Those might be gone already. I'll know more next week, but regardless, if you want to go to this event with us on January 20th, get in quick or they're going to be gone. But thank you for listening to this post-game edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. For my partner, James Neveau, I'm Jay Zawoski. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later this week with a full-on edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.